Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue with Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 4 to 11. Brothers and sisters, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that of ourselves we are qualified to take credit for anything as coming from us. Remember yesterday talking about salt and light and becoming the salt of the earth, becoming light for the earth. I'm going to read again from Father Simon and his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. But for the moment, I ask you yesterday to ask yourself, am I salt? Do I flavor the conversation and the environment around me in a good way? Do I bring the presence of God just by my manner? I don't have to preach. Do I bring hope? Do I bring faith? Do I bring love into the environment? Am I salt, which I'm called to be? Called to be salt and light. Am I? So, as we were talking about that yesterday, Paul says here, not that of ourselves we are qualified to take credit for anything as coming from us. Rather, our qualification comes from God, who has indeed qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. In other words, not just a set of regulations, and if I follow them, then everything will be okay. That's sterility. I follow the directions because I'm in love with the one who gave me those commandments. I'm in love with him. I want to be conformed to him. I want to be like him. Not I have to. You see the difference. And when you want to be, you actually become salt and light, as we heard yesterday. Not that of ourselves we are qualified to take credit for anything as coming from us. Rather, our qualification comes from God, who has indeed qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter brings death, but the spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone was so glorious that the children of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of its glory that was going to fade, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit be glorious? Old Testament, New Testament. For if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, the ministry of righteousness will abound much more in glory. Indeed, what was endowed with glory has come to have no glory in this respect, because of the glory that surpasses it. When Christ came, his glory surpassed everything. And that Christ lives in you. You keep the shades down and the doors locked? Or do you allow Christ to live in you and work through you? Indeed, what was endowed with glory has come to have no glory in this respect because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was going to fade was glorious, how much more will what endures be glorious? God has so much for us, brothers and sisters. And we act like we're orphans. We act like we have no inheritance. We have an eternal inheritance, brothers and sisters. Really. Psalm 99, holy is the Lord our God. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Holy is he. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his holy mountain. Holy is the Lord our God. You take advantage of stopping into a church. Maybe a bit out of your way, but I'll bet many of you could just stop, go in the church, spend 5 minutes there. Just thanking him for giving you life. Putting your concerns, your crosses that you're carrying, put them before him. Thank him for being your father. Thank him for being your savior. Repent of your sin and then go on your way. And more and more and more, the presence of Christ will begin to reign in you because you're orienting yourself in that direction. And then his light can shine on you. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Whoever breaks one of the least of the commandments, and perhaps by example teaches others to do the same, you are in trouble. We need to turn back. Whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. Look at God's criteria, how different it is from our own criteria. Whoever obeys and teaches will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We're in for some real surprises, aren't we, when we get to heaven? If we make it into the eternal life, I think we're going to be very surprised at those who are nearest the throne. It won't necessarily be what the world honored and venerated. So it's much better that you now get that straight and that you now look to follow those who will lead you to eternal life. Doesn't mean that it has to all be religion. I'm not saying that. But people who are oriented to God, many times they know how to have the best fun and enjoyment. They're lighthearted. They're not darkened. They don't have darkened intellects and weakened wills because they're seeking to follow him. And so they bring joy and delight and understanding and courage. Their presence brings that to people and it stirs you up and causes you to want to follow him more closely. Be part of the kingdom, brothers and sisters. Don't stand outside and accuse it and condemn it. Enter in and see what God has to offer. Make the difference, a difference beyond what you possibly can imagine, really, beyond it. Let me read for the last few minutes of this program something else that Father Simon, in his study on the Gospel of Matthew, and he's speaking here about the light of the world. He says, "The city of God on earth is a beacon. The city of God on earth is a beacon that shines on all that lies outside of it and below it. Jesus said, 'Let your light shine in the sight of men.' The good works of Christians are the beams of light that manifest the goodness of their Father to all. The Father cannot be seen, for he dwells in heaven. Therefore, the visible presence and behavior of Christians represent," and then he puts in parentheses, in the strongest sense, "make present again. So the visible presence and behavior of Christians represent the presence of God," that is, make present again, the presence of God. "And this is why precisely Christians can be such a source of scandal. Everyone knows what Christ has made them to be. Their infidelity to being lamps that shed their light to all in the household is the reason for the darkness in the world." It's us who have failed to let our light shine as Jesus asked us to, the light of Christ shining through us. A striking Hasidic story attributes to a particular rabbi the teaching that there is no human ability whatsoever that was created in vain. When asked about a person's ability to deny the existence of God, the rabbi answers as follows, quote, "When someone comes to you and asks for help, then you must not say to him with a pious mouth, have trust and cast your care on God. What you must do is act as if God did not exist, as if in the whole world there were only one person who could help this man, you, you alone. Thus, says Father Simon, must Christians be the visible and living images of their Father. Think about that. This is not just some kind of, as I've said before, pious image. The light of Christ desires to shine through us. He desires to bring light in the darkness, sometimes through us. He desires to bring hope where there is despair and joy where there is sadness. God wants to work through us. He does. In the Lord's saying, says Father Simon, in the Lord's saying, when a lamp is lit, it is not put under the bushel basket. The word for lamp used actually means a portable lamp, and that makes the saying all the more poignant. It's portable. It's a portable lamp. That's us. It makes us, in fact, to be a lamp in the hand of God. When that word is used in Scripture, don't put the lamp, it's not to be put under a bushel basket. The word used for lamp is portable. That's you and me. A light that must allow itself to be moved about by Christ as he sees fit. The house is not lit up all at once, but according to the need of the moment. Now the kitchen, now the dining room, now the study, or now the bedroom requires light. Because it is Christ who has kindled his light, the Christian will also allow his Lord to choose the particular lampstand where he will shine and when. This is not just an image. This is a reality. God, in his infinite power and love for us, in his infinite beauty and desire to see us united with him, makes all kinds of things possible. He can use you to bring light. You're not the source. He is. But if you're willing to be a portable lampstand, he will use you. Honestly. I think one of the difficulties in our world today is Christians do not know who they really are. We've kind of mixed what God teaches us and the church teaches us and what the world says. We kind of jumble it all together. You need to understand what your identity is in Christ by baptism and confirmation. You really need to understand. And I'm trying to give it to you here. God infinitely loves you. He wants the world to know him and to love him and to serve him. And he wants to use you and me as salt and light. Will you let yourself be used? God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.